right. Thank you. Thank you. Probably some of you saw that there was an update sent out recently in the weekly emails from Dallas Cadu, who is at YWAM right now, just sharing about how things are going there for her, some of the ways that she has seen God at work, and some of the ways that you can be praying for her. If you didn't see it or you didn't receive it, they brought a few hard copies this morning, so you can come over here afterwards and grab one over on the pool table there by the offering box and hear about some of the cool ways that God is using her these days. So please do keep her in your prayers. Speaking of young people who've been to YWAM, Kate, did you want to come up and share something YWAM-esque? There you go.
Hi, everybody. Morning. So, I didn't really think too much on what I was going to say, but maybe I'll just start with quick little backstory. So, like, over this past year, I've had a few friends that I've kind of grown up with who have, like, really just, like, fallen in love with the Lord, and it's been so cool to watch. And, like, when I got home from YWAM, we just had so many conversations, like, about their past year and then my past year and kind of, like, things I had been doing, like, at YWAM. Like, just a lot of talk about evangelism and just boldly, like, sharing your faith. And they were like, wow, that's like not really something I've ever done before. And I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. So anyways, this past week, I was with one of my buddies and we were just kind of out just praying for people. And it was really cool. And then we were kind of just like sitting there, just like really dreaming big over our city. Like, we're just thinking, like, the city of Red Deer is just so close to God's heart and there's just so much brokenness. And we just really, yeah, it was a really cool moment. And so, anyways, we were just talking a lot. And then we kind of came up with this little idea. It was like this idea I've had for a while because when I was at YWAM, we, on Halloween, we actually went out with my whole school. And we, like, had this goal of getting a Bible in every house. And we were praying for people on the streets. And it was so cool. So we were like, what if we did that in Red Deer? And so that's what I'm up here to talk about, is that on Halloween, we're going to be doing this event, I don't even know, where we're going to see like how many people we can get to come out, but we're just going to basically, I think, tackle one neighborhood, maybe, it depends how many people come, maybe like an area of the city, but just, yeah, go out, like, go up to people, like, tell them about Jesus, like, pray for them, hand out Bibles, and yeah, because Halloween is just such a night that, like, it's fun in so many ways, but it also just celebrates, like, darkness in so many ways. And so I think it'd just be so cool to, like, I don't know, shine a little light on that evening. So, yeah, how you guys can support is, first of all, coming to this event. Second of all, if you have Bibles laying around that you haven't really used, or if you have, I don't know, maybe an interest in, like, buying a few. We were looking on Amazon, Dad, and I don't know, they were like $2 for a Bible or for the New Testament. They're like this big or something, I don't know. But yeah, there's options. So yeah, if you are interested, come and talk to me. Yeah, I don't really know what else to say. If anyone has any questions, just let me know. I don't know.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I like that they gave you a round of applause. I never get one at the end of a sermon, but it's, wow. But the response should show you that you encouraged and challenged some people. And so thank you for that. And I look forward to seeing what God does through you. Sign up. Let's pray. Lord, I pray your blessings on Kate and her buddy and this adventure with you. We hear your heart in it. Your heart for Red Deer. Your heart for people who don't know Jesus. Your heart for your word. Lord, would you bless their efforts? May people be touched by Jesus through Kate and those who come. I pray that you would send workers, as you told us to pray, because we know that there is a harvest. So Lord, I pray that you would bless and guide them and that we would hear and even join in what's happening there and what you want to do. I pray similar things for Dallas and the place where she is now. I thank you that she has seen people come to the Lord in the ways that you have used her. I thank you for the ways that you are putting Africa on her heart and preparing her to go there. I pray that you would give her the things that she needs now, both finances and confidence in you, hearing and meeting you daily and seeing you equip her. And I pray that as she steps out in faith, she would be walking on that water. So Lord, guide and bless her and be her provider these days. Lord, we're here to talk about how you have been provider. So Lord, would you plant or increase gratitude in our lives? We need it, and it is the appropriate response to who you are and to the ways that you have revealed yourself and the things that you have done for us. We are debtors, and you have been so generous. So Lord, thank you that you have gone above and beyond. May we not forget it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you grab your final authority, please? I have a number of points in this this message where we're going to interact a little bit. So when I ask a question, please don't be afraid to just call something out. We're not going to pass a mic or anything like that. But I'd appreciate hearing from you. And we're going to start with that. Okay. What are signs of ingratitude in someone's life? Other people's, of course, not in your own. Just, you call it other people's sins right now. What are the signs of ingratitude? Discontentment. Yes. Good. Well done. Bitterness. Interesting. Wow. That hadn't come to mind. Thank you. Good job. Complaining often. Yes. Yep. Well done. What else? Greed. Yes. Greed. This sense that I'm entitled, that I need to hoard because I don't know if God will be more generous. Seeing God as stingy. Yeah. Well done. Others? Pardon me? Jealousy or envy. Yes. Another one that was not on my list. Thank you. Well done.
Anger.
Anger. Yes. I was once taught in like the single, it was probably the only thing I remember from my counseling course, was that anger is often a secondary emotion. So it comes in response to a deeper emotional thing going on. Whether it's envy or jealousy, bitterness, that kind of thing. It often gets expressed through anger. Yeah. Discontentment could get expressed through anger. Ingratitude expressed through anger. Well done. Thank you. Complacency. Yes. Apathy. Those are closely related to hopelessness. And we're gonna link hopelessness with ingratitude later on in the message. Well done. Well done. What about treating people as a means to an end? Or the obstacle to getting what you want? Because we're more focused on getting that thing than on the person in front of us. Yeah. Ingratitude shows up in so many different ways in our lives. And I want to confess to you very sincerely, it's not a part of my life enough. So as I give this message this morning, I preach very, very much to myself. This is not I'm looking down the nose at. This is very much, I need to learn the things that I am about to say, and I am not practicing everything that I am about to share nearly to the level that I would like or need to or am responsible for. Okay, so there's the confession and the humility. And so as I lead us in this, it's not with any sort of superiority here. I need to hear it. I was at a training seminar recently as we were being trained on inner healing, deliverance, and the person leading the seminar invited a psychiatric nurse to join the discussion and share from her perspective on some of the topics at hand. And she shared about having been working in that field for, I'm going to say, about 15 years, something like that. As a Christian, she found it both comical and sad that field has very little place for or acknowledgement of the spiritual. And she said, you know, faith is sort of like a checkbox that might show up on someone's treatment plan, but they can't get beyond that and don't know how to deal with it. And yet she laughed and said that basically the field is still playing catch up with the scriptures and God, because she said, we regularly hand out gratitude journals as a crucial part of helping people recover and deal with mental illness. And she said, it's bizarre to her that these truths have been here for so long, and yet for so long they have also gone unacknowledged. God knows what he's talking about. He knows how we are made. Gratitude is essential to good mental health. How about that? Let's look at a couple of scriptures. I told you to get your final authority, but I actually am going to have these on the screen. So, Olivia, would you put up the slide? Thank you very much. Let's look at these two together. Same author, different circumstances, same point. Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will, is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In a different place in time, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, just two different ways of saying please, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. All circumstances. All the time. In every situation. Not simply when I feel like it. Not simply when I am brimming with joy and excitement and feeling like life and spiritual vitality and energy and everything. Not when even when I feel grateful. But all the times that I don't as well. In every situation, gratitude is part of our response to it. Not the whole response. We offer prayers, as it says. But gratitude is crucial to it. Why? Well, we're going to find out. I remember being at a Celebrate Recovery group many years ago now. And someone there was making this presentation. I believe Christmas was coming. So Celebrate Recovery, for those of you who don't know, is this 12-step program for a wide variety of issues and addictions. And I remember watching this guy give this presentation about how he'd lost everything. His addiction had cost him everything, including family, relationships, that kind of thing. And, you know, Christmas is that particularly, that one of those particular times where we do very much focus in on ourselves and our families, right? And sometimes those who don't have those really close relationships feel that pain even more, especially if you've lost a family. And you remember good times and now feel that absence even more. And he was sharing about how come Christmas, as he has done before, because he was not going through the program for the first time, he was sort of maintaining his sobriety with whatever it was he was struggling with. He said, come Christmas Day, when I am feeling that absence, I'm going to be writing my gratitude list. and he talked about how he would fill pages. Not just, I'm thankful for my family, I'm thankful I have breath, but going on and on and on, because it was going to be a crucial part of not only his you know, we just talked about mental health, but his ongoing spiritual health and his sobriety. Crucial. God knew what he was talking about. But is it only when our basic needs have been met that we should be thankful? What does our scripture here say? In all circumstances, give thanks. In every situation, would that include when our basic needs have not been met then? It would, wouldn't it? I think I would probably have defaulted the other way, that we give thanks when we feel like it or when we really notice that God has provided something. But here, it's this challenge to know there's something to be grateful for even when I am still in need for something I will need for my ongoing health, for my ongoing survival, even. There's something to be grateful for still. And he was living it. So let me just remind you that the person who wrote this was living it. Because when he wrote Philippians, he was in jail. And jail back then wasn't like jail today. The government was under zero obligation to feed you. Their only obligation was to continue to enclose you and make sure you could not escape. It was up to other people to feed those in prison, up to the friends and family who would risk their lives sometimes because you're then associating with criminals. And Paul will write, don't be anxious, don't worry, make your prayer requests, even for the basics, while depending on God to meet his most basic needs. This was someone living it. How about that? So gratitude isn't really an optional thing or just a spontaneous thing like when I feel like it. And that's what links us not only with the present but then with the future, that maybe God hasn't provided yet for what you are going to need, but we will. He will. How do I put it? Gratitude in the future. What happens there? I'm not sure I'm going to express this very well. I will try. There's something about gratitude that anchors us in who God is. When we see what he has done for us, it gives us hope for what he will do. Does that make sense? As we see how he has been faithful in the past, this is what, and we know that God does not change. We know that he will provide for the present and upcoming needs. That's one of the sort of payoffs of practicing gratitude, of saying thank you, of making that list, of making it a part of our daily prayers and our responses to God. It's, I say thank you to you, and I know that you will provide, whether I need something now or when I need something in the future, because you've done it before. And I thank you for how you provided for me last year. I thank you for how you met my need last week. And I don't know how you're going to do it in the future, but I know that you are faithful. See, gratitude, one of the byproducts of gratitude is hope. How about that? So we remind ourselves both of what he has done, and that's a personal thing, right? How has he provided for you? We also remind ourselves of what he has said. So again, I'm looking for a response now. What has he written? What are the promises he has written? Just call some of them out that have been helpful. Maybe it's not for you, but for someone else. But what are some of his promises that provide that are going to provide hope for what's next? He'll be near to the brokenhearted. Yes, that has been written. I will never leave you nor forsake you, Jesus says. Yep, what else? My God will supply all of your needs according to his riches. Well done. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Context of that, all these things, is talking about the basics. Clothing, food. Well done. Thank you. Others? Pardon me? Do not fear evil. Yep. Because the Lord is your refuge, provider, protector. Yep. There are more. And it might be helpful to memorize some of them so that in time of need, we say, God, you wrote it down. So you signed the check, as we sometimes now say around here. I'm cashing that check. You are the God of all comfort. I need comfort. Now, so those are the written promises. And this is a rhetorical question, but what are the spoken promises that you've heard personally? Have you heard something from the Lord that you're like, I know God will do this? Those are worth capturing too. If they fit with the book, they are worth keeping. I think of some of them that have been spoken over us as a church. This church will be a hospital church of healed healers. And I remind God of that. You've said that. I heard your voice in that. This church will lead the city in outreach and abundance will be given. I remember when he said that. And we're not letting go of that. I will come to fill unity. You need to empty yourselves. And we hold on to those. And we say thank you for them. Because he will do what he promised. Would you close your eyes with me? And ask the Lord, what is one promise I need to hold on to right now? Just between you and God. Remember, when we're asking a question of God, we're not looking for a booming voice. It's the next scripture that comes to mind. It's the memory that was suddenly jogged and came back. It's the thought that was really sort of unexpected. It's the impression of a word or a picture. It's a whisper. Lord, what is one promise I need to hold on to? Now we're going to ask a different question. Lord, what is one promise we, Unity Baptist, need to hold on to? Amen. Hold on to them. Get out your phone and make a note. I won't be offended. I'd be encouraged, actually, to be honest. Don't lose it. I reminded someone in this week in a text message conversation that when God speaks something, it's usually the first part of a conversation to invite you into more conversation because God is highly relational. So whatever he started with you, keep it going. I have to admit that I would probably have fallen into sort of defaulting to gratitude is only authentic if it's spontaneous, right? And maybe you would have made that mistake like I have at times, but gratitude is commanded in Scripture. So there are times where we simply do something because it's the right thing to do, whether we feel like it or not. It is good and right to give thanks to God, whether it's coming out of this just emotion that rushes towards God, or whether it's simply, no, Lord, you're good. Thank you. I don't really feel like you're particularly good today, but I know that you are, and so thank you. I don't feel maybe particularly close to you at the moment, but I know that you are faithful. So thank you for that. There's something I think that is actually deeply honoring to God when we act in ways that are right despite not feeling it. And I think you and I will find that the more that we act in accordance with the way that God has both designed us to and invited us to live into, that emotions will catch up and the things that we had hoped would come naturally will eventually catch up to that. But that's a process, and that kind of thing takes work. And so be patient with yourselves. This shouldn't be a message where you beat yourself up and say, I'm a deeply ungrateful person. Well, start practicing gratitude, whether you currently feel like it or not. And I bet the Lord will reward your faithfulness with a growing sense of gratitude in your life and a deeper amount of contentment and joy. Because you did some of the hard work and did the discipline, sometimes emotions just need time to catch up. I was talking about something different with the council this weekend, just sharing in a devotional. Rob Reamer has this quote, and so I'm going to adapt it, but he says, one day I hope to overflow with, and he named a particular virtue, so let's modify it. One day I hope to overflow with gratitude, and that the responses will all be spontaneous and flowing. But until that point, I will choose to act with gratitude that I might become the person I want to be. That's not a bad example, you know? Lord, I aspire to be a grateful, content, joy-filled person. And I know one day you will get me there. But until that point, I'm going to act in the ways that you have said are right, because I love you, because you said it's the right thing to do. And we will have taken one more step towards the person that we aspire to be. No one is yet where we want to be, right? And we have all these different voices in our heads that say, you'll never be, and you aren't, and you suck, and that kind of thing. But sometimes those just need to be set aside and say, no, that's a lie. And I will act in the ways that God has said. And I will let God, and I will even address some of those things as lies, but then let God produce change in me as well. But God usually changes us one step at a time through a process. And the things that change over time through a process tend to stick a little bit better than the sudden and instant, I think. Maybe that's just Ben. Okay, let's make a clarification here. It is give thanks in all circumstances. It's not necessarily give thanks for all circumstances, right? Some things just suck, right? Some things are just straight up evil, right? But there's still something to be grateful for at all times, because God has not changed, because he is with you, he will never leave you, he is God of all comfort, et cetera, right? Whether or not things are going the way that we want. However, gratitude also has the power to transform the way that we see a situation. Let me tell you a story. I was recently listening to a podcast. I'd be happy to send it your way. It was a fascinating story of a Christian pastor, evangelist, this kind of thing, from Denmark by the name of Torben Sondergaard. And he'd come to the States and actually been imprisoned in the States. He was in prison for 412 days without reason, against his rights, essentially. I won't go into all of the circumstances. It was incredibly unjust. But while he's in prison, there's someone out there going after him, making life in prison even worse for him than what he is already going through simply by virtue of being there. and being put there wrongfully. And he wrestled with this for a really long time. And you know what God taught him? He took him back to the Gospels, and he pointed out, you know, when Jesus says it is finished, Jesus had accomplished his mission. Did Jesus need any of his disciples to accomplish that mission? I would have said no to. And Torben points out that he needed one, and it was Judas, the betrayer. That God's purpose was accomplished in Jesus' life by using a betrayer. And that transformed the way that he experienced and processed what he was going through in jail. Could gratitude do the same thing? Because he came to the point of saying, Lord, I don't like being here, but thank you that you are teaching me these things in this place. I'm not there yet. I hope not to be there personally, right? But I'm not at that level. But it's possible. It can transform us. Okay, response time again. Let's look back over what we just talked about. And let's ask ourselves, let's call it out. What are the signs that we would see gratitude in someone's life, in our lives? What would that look like? Pardon me? Joy. Yep. What else? Peace. Yep. There's a contentment there with what I have as well as what's going on. Generosity. Yep. What else? Humility. Right. What a good one. Thank you. Because humility is that stepping out of the center and the spotlight of my own life. To say it's not about me, whatever I'm going through. So anything that I receive, it's not because I deserve it. So thank you, Lord. It's a gift. Well done. What else? Obedience. Yeah. Yeah, I will do this. I'm going to do it because you've been good and because you are good. I'm grateful. I didn't earn this stuff. Yeah. Well done. What else? Grace. Grace for other people, right? God, you've been so patient with me. You have not, what does it say? He has not treated us as our sins deserve, Scripture says. I certainly hope that I will grow in that. That I would have grace for people because God's had grace for me. It's a response of gratitude. What else? A glass half full. Yeah. Yeah. It's not a glass half empty, right? Yeah. A change of perspective. Right? Thank you. What about hope? That I'm gonna, having seen how God has provided, I will have hope for the future. Because he doesn't change. Gratitude can give us new perspective, right? It can give us freedom. It contribute, I should say, maybe it would be better, contribute to freedom from addiction. Contribute to healing from mental illness. It gives us hope for the future because God is faithful. So friends, let us renew ourselves in the practice, the obedience of being grateful and see how our lives catch up because he knows how we are made. And this is a key part of becoming what God has asked us to be and calls us to. Let's pray. Lord, you are so good. We have experienced that even here this morning, as you have revealed yourself, as you have given us your truth, as you have spoken to us about your promises, as you have reminded us of your kindness and your grace and your favor. And those things find particular expression in each of our lives. So I pray that you would guide us in giving you that particular thank you for those individual circumstances where you showed up, where you gave us more than we needed, where you revealed yourself, where you called us forward. Lord, you are going to be faithful. It's your nature. Lord, would you anchor us again and make us people who say, no, this is who God is. So I will become a person of hope because of who God is. I have seen and I believe. So I have experienced some things, but I will also trust for the things that I need to experience down the road or now. Lord, thank you that you would give us reminders to be grateful. Thank you for the power that it has. You know how we are made. So thank you that knowing how we are made, you encourage us to live into that. I pray for each one of us that you would strengthen us where we need discipline in this area, to become a self-controlled and disciplined person in the things that you've asked us to do. So, Lord, as you ask us to take the next right step, help us do it for your sake, trusting you will be faithful and with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Ben just had the most fearful look in his eyes as I came up.
You never know what he's going to say.
Yeah, the word says take delight in honoring each other. And as Ben was sitting here sharing the word, I just, my heart was overwhelmed with gratitude for this guy. You know, this last season that we've been at a church, God essentially told me, go tell Ben to head into this storm. And I said, Lord, we're gonna have to travel light. We're gonna lose a lot of stuff. Stuff's going overboard, Lord. That's not what pastors are trying to do. But this guy loves the Lord, and he listens to the Lord, and he was obedient to the Lord. And that is such a gift, you guys. It is such a gift that we have. We have a pastor who will go take the hard road, because he loves the Lord and he loves you guys. Not everybody has that as a leader of their church. And I am so grateful. I was just, as we talk about gratitude today and as Ben shared about gratitude, I am so grateful for a pastor who loves the Lord, will follow him to hard areas. That is so rare. That is so rare. Most people are bailing at that point, at a cost to himself, at a cost to his reputation. It's Pastor Appreciation Month. Show this man support. Show him gratitude. You have no idea how blessed we are as a church. It's beyond our wildest realizations. And so I want to bless you, Ben. I want to say thank you on behalf of the church, to say that I thank the Lord for Ben. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you for these people. thank you for the man who you said, go take these people. Take them to places that they don't know. And listen for my voice. I thank you for a pastor who's been sensitive to that and has done it at a cost to himself. I pray blessings upon him, upon his family, and upon his church family, Lord. I pray that people will see the love that he has for you and for his people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I didn't know Joel was going to do that. Maybe Joel didn't know. The Christian bookstores send out, this is Pastor Appreciation Month, which is a marketing thing. It's like Mother's Day. Did I just offend the mothers? But I tried to, for a number of years, just sort of make that go away in the church, partly because I'm paid to do this, which I'm also grateful for. Whereas you guys all volunteer out of your own, of not getting paid and just out of your own hearts. And so at times I've just said to people, would you just pray for me? That's what I need. And I know so many of you do. So thanks. Thanks for your prayers. Love you guys. Let's worship. I don't know if you can see that I'm wearing Crocs. It's not because I'm following the high school kids these days. I got an infection in my foot. I don't know how. But it got swollen and it's been extremely painful. And I've been limping for days. And this morning, I got up early to spend time with the Lord, and it was throbbing, like just absolutely throbbing as I made my coffee this morning. And I to the point where I had to move where I was going to spend my quiet time and prop up my foot. And it hasn't hurt for the rest of the morning. So I just wanted to say thanks to God and say, God provided. He's good. I love the doxology and closing with that because I just named one blessing. And I'm not even sure if I asked for it exactly, but if I did, I'm just grateful for some help getting through this morning. I thought I was going to have to sit and prop up my foot to preach this morning, and I actually feel good. That's just one thing we have to be grateful for, I do. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from a Father who cares deeply for you. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace and give you gratitude and give you the wholeness and giving you the encounters and giving you the discipline to do the next right thing. He will be faithful. Bless you, friends. Thanks for being here. Happy Thanksgiving. Have a great week.